Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey, and welcome to Easter Wednesday. Easter Wednesday. What a wonderful, wonderful day this is. It's a celebration where there's no time limits on this. It's an 8-day celebration. Actually, it's 40 days. But the octave, the 8 days here, is actually called Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, etc. And it's that way to say that we are to celebrate. This is not a past event. It's a present reality for us that he is risen from the dead. Therefore, my life, if I follow him, my life is eternal. I will enter in, I will inherit what God has done for me in Christ. This is real. So many people, it's both Christmas and Easter, so many people celebrate the day and that's it. There's so much to celebrate, you can't get it all in one day. So let's take a look here on this Wednesday. What is it that the church offers us? First, from the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man, crippled from birth, was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John. So he really looks at him, because now God, who has given Peter the ability to preach, and we hear him preaching the gospel in an earlier passage, now today we see a gift of healing emerging. Peter was poor, he was weak, he was frightened, he denied Christ at a critical moment, but God looks at the soul, and he knew in there was a very generous man, a man who needed courage, and a man he could actually entrust the church to. So don't be put down by your sins. Acknowledge them, repent for them, turn away from them, yes. But don't think that that convicts you or sets you aside. If you've asked God's forgiveness, it's given, it's erased. Keep that in mind. And this is what Peter, he's experiencing these gifts coming to him now. And it says here in the passage that I just read, it says here, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them. Why did he pay attention to them? Expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Look at that courage. Would you have courage to do that? "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give you." How did he know what he had? Revelation of the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit dwells in you. You need to learn how to test the voice of the Holy Spirit from the voice of men and the voice of the devil. You need to learn that. You don't just say the first thought that comes to your mind, "This is from God." But when you really draw close to him and learn to live with him, learn to live with Christ, he gives us insight. He gives us discernment, the ability to see. And Peter says, "I don't have those things that the world values, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Here's a man who scripture tells us he was crippled from birth, and every day he begged for alms. Can you imagine how he must have just practically given up? And yet he sees, in a sense, the fire in Peter's eyes, and he says, he asks for healing. Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. This is from birth now. He leaped up. He stood, he walked around, he went into the temple with them, talking and jumping and praising God. I think that one would be one of the most delightful scenes, standing there in front of Peter, just jumping up and down, or he's running around, or he's so experiencing what he's never experienced in his life. His body is working for him now rather than against him. It must have been a quite a curious moment for a lot of people. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. Now, the next step after the amazement and the astonishment should be, who is this man? And be drawn to Jesus. Most of us just say, oh, that's interesting, that's unusual. We ought to ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want of me? Psalm 105, rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name, make known among the nations his deeds, sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. My goodness, brothers and sisters, let's do what Psalm 105 urges us to do. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Let's seek him more, long for him more, hunger for him. Follow after him, listen to his words, ask him for help, that you might know and believe more deeply than you do even now. And the Gospel of Luke, this is one of my most favorite passages in Scripture. You've heard me say that a number of times, but this is definitely one of them. Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. So this day, the day of the resurrection. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, like, did you believe this? Do you believe that? He was crucified. He's dead. There's no hope. It must have all been a farce. Who knows all that they were talking about. But Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Did you ever think that there are times when the Lord walks with you, walks beside you? He does. He longs to have you with himself forever. Think about that. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him, and he asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? They stopped, looking downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days? And look at Jesus. He replied, what sort of things? He's just engaging them in conversation. He's drawing them out. Jesus does that with us. What do you believe? What do you believe? Are you really my disciple? Are you willing to follow me? He's asking those kinds of things to us day in and day out. And they said to him, the things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's the third day. I mean, nothing's going to happen now. 3 days have passed since he was crucified. And then he says, some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. And then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. So a lot of people, you say, oh, that's, you're just making it up, that he rose from the dead. And he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. In other words, he was not going to force himself onto them. So he, well, it's been good seeing you, and he starts to move away, but they urged him, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. They liked him, they didn't recognize him, but they liked what he had to say, so stay with us, keep talking to us. You should say that to the Lord often. Stay with us, Lord. Be with us here, Lord. Stay with us. Make that your prayer. For it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, this is my high point of this passage, and with that, their eyes were opened. They recognized him. They encountered him, not an idea, not a theory, they encountered him. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. But look at what he did. He celebrated the Eucharist, the beginnings of the Eucharist, not as we know it today, but it was there. He was giving them his body and his blood. And it says, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? But their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened when he held up the bread and blessed it and gave it to them. So brothers and sisters, one way, a key way, the chief way of drawing closer to God is in the Eucharist. Receiving as often as you can, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me. Lead me in faith. Help me. He will. And you can't count on how he's going to do it, but he will. It means waiting and trusting and looking for him. And these disciples said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? So that's another reason. Read the scripture daily. Let the word of God be food for you. In addition to the Eucharist, let the word of God be food for you. So that you can recognize him, so that you can receive his grace, so that you can follow him as a beloved disciple. So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. And then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them where in the breaking of the bread. Keep that in mind. That's very important, brothers and sisters. May you too know him. May you feed on him. May you become one with him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.